Glory to God. Hallelujah. Welcome to a study in the Word. Amen. We're ready to get deep into the Word of God today. Father, we thank you so much for being here with us today, for living in us and dwelling in us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing your heart to us and the heart of the Father, for enlightening our understanding on the Word of God and revealing it by revelation to us, teaching us how to choose, Lord. We're so thankful for the banquet that you set before us on your table this morning as we come before your throne to celebrate the Word of God and to celebrate your deep, deep love for us. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're at a study in the Word, and our study is currently an in-depth study on love, and this is message number 9. And today's message is entitled, The Established Heart, Part 2. Because we did not get finished with last week's, and I never guarantee that we won't have another third part. But anyways, today is The Established Heart, Part 2. Let's get right into the Word. We got a lot of ground to cover. Last week we were moving our way through Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. We only got to verse 4, so we're going to go back to Proverbs 3, 1. And then pick up on verse 5 for today's study. Proverbs 3:1, Amplified Classic Version. My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of a life worth living, and tranquility inward and outward, continuing through old age till death, these they add to you. Oh man, I like that. I like that. You know, God gave us the secret of long life right there in that verse. And he also gave us the secret. And it's not a secret. It's revealed. But a lot of people don't know it's there. So it's secret to me if I don't know it. He gave us the secret to tranquility in our life, to peace and rest. And it's right here in these two verses. My son, forget not my law or teaching. What is his law? The law is the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
He said, forget not. Or, in other words, to keep it before your eyes, as it says in Proverbs 3, 20 through 25. Keep it before your eyes. Put it in the midst of your heart. For length of days and years of life worth living. As I mentioned last week, we can live a long life, and most of us wants to live a long life. But when we do that... Is it a good life?
A life worth living.
You know, it could be a miserable life, and it could be something that we're just getting by on, or we would rather leave this old world and get on to heaven, or wherever we were going. Nobody's in too much of a hurry to go to hell, I don't think. But it's sad that a lot of people don't believe in hell. They don't believe in God.
They ain't going there.
They think they're just going to die, and that's it. Or they're going to come back as a horse or something. But I'm sorry, you're going to die, this body's going to cease to exist, and you're going to be in heaven or hell. Mm-hmm. But God wants us to live in heaven on earth.
Amen.
He wants us to experience the depths of his presence, his loving kindness, and his mercy. But we are involved in that. And unless I'm in the Word of God, unless I'm receiving it, believing it, adhering to it, and trusting in it, I'm not going to live a peaceful and tranquil life.
That's right.
We can live a tranquil life in the midst of the worst storms of life. So this is awesome here. It's a promise. It's an absolute truth of God's Word. But I'm involved in receiving it. And then he gives us some steps here to live in that tranquil life and a life worth living. As we keep the Word of God before our eyes and in our hearts, verse 3 says, let not mercy and kindness... shutting out all hatred and selfishness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy and falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. That's what I do. I let not. I'm the one that lets not. In other words, I'm making a decision to walk in mercy and kindness. I'm making a decision, no matter what's coming against me, I'm going to be truthful in all that I do. I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to speak the truth, act the truth, and walk the truth. I'm not going to be deceiving people with my actions or with my words. I'm going to speak the truth. God's word is truth, Jesus said. And then it says in verse 4, so shall you find favor. So if I do this, if I forget not his word, if I walk in kindness and truth, and I'm walking the love walk in my life, then so shall you find favor. That's when I find favor. How many of us want favor? I do. I want favor in my life. That means favor in the midst of my enemy. The word says in Proverbs 16:7 that when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's the kind of favor that God's word gives you.
Amen.
That's the kind of favor that you get because you're dwelling in the secret place of God's rest. He's taking care of those enemies. He's granting favor to you. We see this time after time in the Bible. It says because Solomon walked in his ways, that God's ways, that there was no war during Solomon's reign. That's awesome. And there's other kings where it says that they walked right before the Lord. They walked upright and it brought peace to their reign. God will grant us peace and rest in our lives. That's part of that tranquil life. Having favor and rest with those around us that maybe not don't like us too much. They just don't care for us for some reason. For one thing, they don't like the Jesus that we're walking in with. That sometimes rubs people the wrong way. I don't know why. All we're doing is loving people. Who does not want to be loved? I do. But sometimes that kind, compassionate, gentle attitude, that walking right with God disturbs people because it shines light on darkness. They're seeing something in their own life, knowing that there's another way, but they don't want it. They're rejecting it. So anyways, this kind of life will give us favor. And then it says, so shall your, verse 4 again, so shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and of man. Now we're going to start today in verse 5, which is where we left off last week. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Lean on. I'm leaning on this wall. Now what happens if that wall gives way? I'm going down hard. But do you know you can lean on God?
Yes.
You can lean on His Word, and no matter how much weight you put on that, it's going to support you.
Yes.
The Word of God will not fail you. It's absolute truth. God's love will not fail you. It's absolute love, beyond anything man can understand. But the lover is living inside of us by the Holy Spirit. When you get born again, love Himself comes in and dwells within us. Our spirit and His spirit are one. We can't say we don't know how to love or we can't love that person. We can because love is living in us.
Yeah.
We just simply don't want to. Or we don't know how. But the Word teaches us how. But you can't do it from a mindset. You got to do it from a heart set.
Amen.
From the heart, the issues of life flow. So here, lean on. Trust in. How many of us trust God? Trust His Word. Well, how can you trust something you don't know? I can be born again, and I can even read the Bible, but never receive the Bible.
That's right.
Or I can read all the negatives in there, and oh, God's wrath, He's burning down barns, He's killing people with His wrath. No. Sin's doing that.
That's right.
God's wrath is at the sin, not at the person. And God's wrath is based and founded in love, because God is love. He cannot do anything but love. All of God's emotions, and He has emotions, are founded in and rooted in love, because God is love. So when you see wrath, you will not see wrath at the person. It's always at the sin that separates the person from Him. And if the person continues to go with what causes that wrath, then it affects the person. But God does not steal, kill, and destroy. There is one that does. And that's all He knows how to do. Is steal, kill, and destroy, and that's the devil and his works. God is love, so He loves. We are born of God and created by love, so we are love.
Amen.
We have to love because that's who we are. Anything else is abnormal. So if I lean on and trust in God, what do I do in the midst of my problems and troubles in life? Am I trusting God? I got to ask myself, am I trusting in man or in God? This person that has the established heart, he's leaning on God. He's leaning on the Word, and if the Word fails, he fails, but the Word's not going to fail.
Amen.
Because the stronger, the more you lean on the Word, and the more you lean on God, the stronger that Word becomes.
Yes.
The more support you have. There is absolutely no way to fail when you walk in love, because the Word says love never fails. It's the strongest thing in all of creation, because it is God Himself. There is no way love can fail. So if I have an established heart, I have a love-based heart. One of our previous lessons, lesson number 5, we talked about being rooted deep in love. And in lesson number 6, we talked about love, the top priority in life. Love is the priority in everyone's life.
Amen.
Well, it's not the priority in mine. They got to love me first. But that top priority is affecting you.
Yes.
Because you're not walking in love, then you're walking in sin and fear and worry and anger and trouble. You don't have your answers. You're trying to get them yourself. You're walking in fear and depression and all these things. And you're doing it because you want that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. If you wanted to get free from that, you come to God. You humble yourself under the Word of God. You receive His love. And then watch Him wash and cleanse and heal and deliver in your life. But you're involved in that.
It's pride.
So it's whatever your priority is. If God is not your priority, then whatever else is functioning in your life. And then you'll run to God and, God, get me out of this. He's been trying to all along. He's been trying to get you around that. But now, like a plant and a seed in the ground, that seed does not come up overnight. You're going to have to submit your life to God, yield to the love of God, receive Him as your Lord and Savior before He can do very much. He'll do what He can. He'll do what He can. But like anything else, it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. God's best is for you to continue to walk in love, continue to walk in faith, stay in the Word. Let the Word control your life. Filter your actions and thoughts through the love walk and through the Word of God. Then, even before the trouble comes, you're already prepared. You already have everything working in your life that's needed to overcome that thing. A lot of the problems and issues you'll avoid completely because the Holy Spirit will guide you around them before you even get there. How many problems do you manufacture, or do I manufacture myself? My response to people when they come against me fuels that problem or issue.
Yeah.
I think I have a right because they done this to me. The Word says to turn the other cheek. The Word says to love them. The Word says to bless those who curse you and despitefully use you. Do not curse, but bless. To pray for them. Are you doing that? Well, because you responded against them with your own anger and your own force, trying to correct them and to get your point across, love didn't work there. So you were the problem in that. Even no matter what that other person did, you could have responded differently, and you didn't. So you developed the ongoing problem yourself when it could have been avoided. The majority of our problems in life can be avoided.
That's right.
Our marriages can be healed and be strong. Our relationships can be healed and be strong. But it's dependent on what I do, not what the other person did. I have to walk this love walk right through the storm. I let God be my shield and my armor. I let His love walk heal and determine how this flows in my life. He will teach me how to respond to that in a way that there's an answer.
Yeah.
In a way that it cannot escalate and become something that it shouldn't be. That other person is responding the way he did to me because he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know. He's being deceived. That's why he's coming against me. No matter what it is, he's coming against me because he's being deceived by the enemy. He's being driven by his carnal nature. He's being driven by fear and worry and anger. That's driving him forward. And pride and all these things is driving that person. But it shouldn't be driving us.
That's right.
We should be driven by the love walk. If you respond properly, yes, you may get some hurts and bruises along the way, but God will heal them.
Yeah.
And He'll take care of your heart. And He'll strengthen you and grant you favor, just like it says here. That other person will run out of fuel. He will get to the place where he can't go any further with his anger. But you can keep on going.
Yes.
And you can win that person. It may take a lifetime, but you can win that person to favor with you. Even if he doesn't receive Jesus, you can bring up peace in that person's life he's never had before. You don't, every time a Christian responds in anger because of something's coming towards him, every time they do that, the enemy taps into your faith and he uses that against you. But not only against you, against that other person. And it's fuel for the fire. If you don't want the fire to burn, don't put no wood on it.
That's right.
Don't do that. That's stupid. At the same time, you want an answer here, but you keep adding fuel to it by arguing. Can't do that. Your marriage will be healed. Your thoughts will be healed. It'll take care of your business and your job. It may look different, but it'll take care of your business and your job. There'll be a light on your path as you walk because you are doing what this word says. You have an established heart. The biggest guns the enemy has does not keep you away from loving that person. Even if you slip and you let your carnal nature jump up there, you can even deal with that. The word gives us 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive yours of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
He's able to do that, but you have to take account of it. I sinned here. I done wrong. I responded wrong. I need to take account of this thing. It's not got anything to do with what that other person did. It's got everything to do with how I responded. I need to take control of my own thoughts, my own heart, the way I respond. I have the right and the ability to do that. I don't have to allow the circumstances to determine how I respond. I respond based on God's word. Even when I fail, He'll lift me up.
Amen.
And bring understanding to me there. Hallelujah. That is awesome. So are you leaning on? Are you trusting in? And are you confident in the Lord? That's what verse 5 says. Lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insider understanding. Your own insider understanding will cause you to respond based on your carnal nature.
That's right.
You will wind up responding in like kind. And that's the worst thing you can do. Especially if you're God's child. How can the world ever see the light of God's presence and love if we do not do this? Our times are in God's hands. Our love walk is in our hands. He gives us the right and the ability and the authority. We have to take that right, receive it, act on it. There's right now in the United States and around the world, there's all kinds of people that are standing up for their rights. And if they would love instead of stomping their foot, if they would walk in love, that right would come. It would take time. But you cannot respond in anger and receive compassion and love at the same time. Can't do it. It won't work. You're going to get exactly what you're sowing. Don't do that. No matter what it is, you walk in love. You walk in love. You walk in love no matter what. No matter what, you walk in love. You find out what God's word says about these things and apply that to how you respond and how you think and what you say. You do that. If you do that, then God will respond through you and He'll grant you His favor. Verse 6, in all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge Him. How many ways? Message number 4 that we had in this series was all of God's ways are love.
Mm-hmm.
And we made a long list of 20 some odd ways that we find in Scripture that God is. God's ways are. God's ways are. God is. God's ways are. And then we found out in 1 John 4, 18, 17, and 18 that as He is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
Our ways are supposed to be just like God's ways. You're saying you're God. No, I'm not. I'm saying the lover is in me. And He's teaching me His ways. And since He is love, and as He is, so are we in this world, I am a love creature. I am born of love, for love, to love. All of creation is born by love, created by love, is created for love, and is created to love. All of creation is. Because it's created by love. So it's supposed to be loving.
Amen.
That's our biggest issue in life. It's not what John Doe did to me, or the world did to me, or the neighbor did to me, or this group of people did to me. That's not the case. That's not the problem. Love is the issue.
Amen.
On both sides. Or however many sides there are. So, in all of your ways, know. So I'm supposed to know this. I'm supposed to know His ways. And I'm supposed to know that my ways are supposed to be just like His ways.
Amen.
When I see that God's way is this way, God's way is mercy, I'm supposed to be walking in mercy.
Amen.
When God's ways are faith, I'm supposed to be walking in faith. When God's word is kindness and loving kindness, and that's His way, that's supposed to be my way. And I'm supposed to be working on those areas. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to accomplish that if I look at my whole lifetime and say, I failed there. I can't do this. You can in your now. You can do it in your now moment. You can make a decision right now, in this moment, I'm going to love. And then the next time, do it again. And when you fail in the next moment, fix that and walk in the next now in love. And as you look back, you'll find out that you've been walking the love walk.
Amen.
And where you didn't, God helped you and put you right back on it again. Because that is His desire. That's what that cross is all about. We're supposed to be loving.
Amen.
And if I ask the Holy Spirit, He'll show me where I'm not. Because He wants us to know. He wants us to fix that, not just to show that He can do it and to show His, but to love through us so that the world can actually see a church that is of one heart.
Amen.
So they can see the glory. The church can't, I mean, the world can't see the glory if the church is not walking in it.
That's right.
We have the, that's what the glory is, it's love.
Amen.
That's the essence of who God is, so that's His glory. And as we walk in love, we reveal the heart of the Father. And that's what this is all about. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. In all of your ways, know, recognize. So I'm supposed to be looking at it. And when I'm not doing it, I'm supposed to recognize the fact that I'm not. Or recognize the fact that I am. And acknowledge Him. So if I... In all my ways I know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, what am I doing? I'm walking His way. I'm walking the love walk because He has no other path for me.
That's right.
Any other path is the enemy's path.
That's right.
And that's all the enemy can do. He can only cause me, myself, to choose to move off of that love path.
Amen.
That's all the chance he has. If I won't step off of the love path, he has nothing in me.
That's right.
The word actually says in the same chapter, 1 John 4, that perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
That's His love casts out fear. And if I'm walking His way and His love walk, then fear can't come in.
Hallelujah.
It can't get in. No more than darkness can move light away, fear cannot move love away.
Amen.
I have to choose the fear for the fear to function. And that's the sad part. The church fix that up. Right now, in this dark things that are going on, a large number of the church walking in fear.
Yeah.
And we should not be. We are the ones that have the answer through Jesus. We're the ones that can bring the answer to the world. But if we're walking the same way the world walks, if we're participating in their fear, if we're acknowledging it out of our mouth and that's what we're speaking, then we're part of the problem. We're not speaking God's truth. We're not speaking Jesus is the answer. We're acknowledging the problems instead of acknowledging the answer to the problem.
Right.
You want something to change, don't keep talking the problem.
That's right.
Talk the answer to it. And there is only one, no matter what we think. You cannot legislate morality. Morality is a condition of the heart. It's something that comes from love. It's something that comes from God. It's something that He puts in our hearts. You cannot legislate it, no matter how hard you try. It's good that we do certain things and that we do try to make change. That's good. But let's do it God's way.
Amen.
Let's do it based on the Word. Let's do it because He is love and so are we. Let's do it His way. Something is permanent. Something that will gain something for eternity and not something just to have it my way. My way is not the right way, I can tell you that. His way is always right.
Amen.
In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your path. As I do that, His light shines through me on where I'm at and on where I'm going. Mm-hmm. His Word is a light, a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Right.
The Word says that His Word is a lamp unto my feet, so it's shining where I am. It's bringing revelation to where I am. It's showing me where I am and what I'm supposed to be doing, but it's also a light for my path, showing me where I'm supposed to be going.
Yeah.
It's guiding me. His light is upon my path, and He's teaching me how to choose. So He will direct and make straight and plain my paths. Why? Because I'm knowing, recognizing, and acknowledging Him. There's a connection here. There's a link between God's heart and mine. There's an inseparable link there. God will not separate from me. He will not leave me nor forsake me, never. I'm His child. But He can't do anything about the way I walk. He will not force me to walk on a path. He will invite me and show me the path. And encourage me and teach me and be there for when I make my choice. When I make my choice, He just gently brings me back. And now we're walking together and He's teaching me and telling me and revealing things to me. He's showing me His heart and I'm showing Him mine. There's a union together. And that's what God wants. Because in that union, He can flow.
Amen.
But if I step off the path, He has a hard time getting it to me other than bring me back. And that's my choice. It's my choice to step off the path. It's my choice to step on the path. Okay. Verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear, worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews, and marrow and moistening to your bones. So there's life comes forth from this. As if I'm wise in my own eyes, what is that? That's pride. God hates pride. You're relying on yourself, your own ability. You don't do that. You rely on God. Well, I can handle this. God's busy. He's never too busy for you. He could handle everybody's problems and is for everybody that ever has or ever will exist. He died once for all. He took care of all of it. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get upset with me and will not work in my life. He loves me. And He loves everyone the same. There is no difference. No matter what rank you have in life, the homeless guy that's the madman of Gadara, they call, but all those legion of demons, He loved him the same as He loves me. Didn't love either one of us any more or less. He loves us, period. So much so, He died once for all. not just those that lived at that time, but everyone that lived before them and everyone that's lived after them. And those that are yet to come and are not here. The same amount of love, equally distributed between all. And he will not run out, because he is love. Mm-hmm. I cannot do enough to separate myself so far away from God that he cannot bring me back. But the problem is, the longer I stay in that condition, the further out I go, the harder it is for me to make that choice. Because the word talks about the hardness of the heart. We get a heart that's hardened and we lose it. We forget our salvation. We forget what's happened to us. We forget. Because that's the problem. I've seen something the other night that said, maybe you put it on there, I don't know. But this thing said, the problem, I'd probably get it wrong, the more you miss church, the more you will not miss church.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the way it is. The less time we spend loving God, the less time we spend in prayer, the more we will not miss it.
That's right.
Our hearts will become hardened. We get to the place where, well, I'll get to that. God knows what I need. Why should I spend time? I just don't have time today. Let me tell you the truth. You don't have time not to.
That's right.
You better get in the Word today. You better walk your love walk. No matter what's going on. Well, God will understand. That guy was just more than I can handle. Then you better repent. Because you did have the opportunity, the means, and the ability to overcome that. You just didn't do it.
Right.
You just didn't do it. It's your fault, not the other person's. You should have responded differently, and you didn't. So, respond differently. Take control of that situation. Repent. Fix it. Let God be God in that circumstance. Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't let pride function in your life. Submit yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. Now, so I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not killing anybody. Our idea of evil is different than God's idea of evil. What is evil to God? And that's what's important. It's not how I define evil. It's how God defines evil. Anything that separates you from God is evil. In God's eyes, if it's something that separates you from his heart, then it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's evil. It's anything that removes you from his presence. As far as God is concerned, that's evil. Now, that covers a lot of territory.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with me going to the ball game instead of going to church. It depends on where that ball game is in your heart.
That's right.
It depends on where it is. Well, I can hunt and fish out in the bank and still worship God. Yeah, you can most certainly do that. But if you're doing that first above your relationship with God and others, you're wrong.
Or every time, every Sunday.
It's wrong. And it doesn't matter if you don't think it is. That's not what's important. It's how God sees it. Because a fishing trip removed you from God's presence. Well, I'm out here with him. Yeah, but what about your anointing to help others? What about the corporate anointing that's not there? You're missing out on. What about how you arrived at doing that? You've got all these hours all week, all weekend, all this time, but God is only like, church is only an hour or two. Can't you do both? Sure you can. What's first? God first. Well, then by that time it's all hot. We'll go real early when it's still dark and get back home, go to church and go back. If God is first, he's first. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Make God first. Priority one. Nothing goes beyond your relationship with God. Then he's first in the rest of your life. He is able now to move.
You'll catch more fish.
Exactly. What did Peter say? Lord, we've been out all night long and we caught nothing. Well, cast out and throw your nets to the right side. Okay. Because you said to do it, I'll do it. And what happened? They went out one time, threw the net over, and pulled so many in that they couldn't even break in the net. In one case, they had to call their partners out and say, hey, come on here, we can't handle this by ourselves. That's what happens. But he could have stayed all night again and not got anything. You know, God sees to it that you prosper when you walk with him.
Amen.
No matter what it is. Plus, how do you put a price tag on the joy of the Lord?
Amen.
How do you put a price tag when you're walking through this storm and God's love is just issuing forth in your heart because you're loving him? And you know where you'd have been without that love? Oh man, you can't put a price tag on relationship with God.
That's right.
If you want to pray with God and to be God with God out there on that creek bank, sure, do that. But don't do it in his time with his people. You join his people like you're supposed to. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. You go to church. You go to church. You receive from that corporate anointing. You love him in the way he's asked you to. And then watch what happens in your life. And it shall be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow and moistening to your bones. It brings life to you. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors and with the first fruits of all your income. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. Why? Because just like the creek bank deal with the fishing, you put God first. He gave you all that you have. Now you're taking this first fruit, the first part, not the last part when you got it left over, the first fruit, and you bring it to him with joy in your heart as his. And then he takes that 10% of the 100, just 10%, he takes that. And he receives it. And then your blessings overflow.
Amen.
Because you've opened the door for him to do that.
Amen.
You chose it. You chose it because you're loving him with this. Not because it's a duty. Tithing and giving is, it's a responsibility, a commandment. But he made it a commandment in order for him to be able to come in and love you there.
Yes, yes.
It's something that you can do to authorize him. If you hold that, then what's first? What's first to you? The money is. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Well, you don't understand. You're on my toes now with money. I'm not on anybody's toes. I'm just telling you what the lover says.
Yeah.
The lover wants the right to bless you. He wants the right to come into your heart and take care of those hurts and fears and worries. He wants your heart and his to be one. That's what it's about. It's not about money. It's about love.
Amen.
It's about what you hold on to. It's about what you open your heart to him for him to flow in and through you. The enemy doesn't want you to do this because he knows, Satan knows, if you'll get a hold of these truths, you're going free.
Amen.
You're going free. If you walk these things that God has, if you'll establish your heart in these things, it opens the floodgates of heaven and God gets his joy.
Amen.
God's joy is in pouring out because that's what love does.
Amen.
Love hindered by my choices, by putting him last or third or whatever, any place but first, that hinders his ability to pour into my life and through my life, through me to others. That hinders that. And that, the joy to God, the thing that God gets out of it, the thing that empowers him, is that I love him enough to put him first in all things. All things. Mm-hmm. It's so sad that before the cross he had to make it a commandment. Now it's a love commandment. One commandment to love. Can I love God and hold on to these things? Can I? That's a question you have to answer. I can't answer it for you.
Amen.
I can't answer it for you. You have to answer how far you're going with God. You have to do that. So we're just about done here. So didn't get as far as I wanted to, so we maybe be a part three, maybe not. We'll see next week. Thank you so much for joining us today. You are much blessed, richly blessed. We love you here at Harvest, and we ask and speak a blessing over you. Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. Oh, Lord, open the eyes of our understanding. Cause revelation to come forth.
Yes, sir.
Anoint our understanding, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you for teaching us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bring that down too far. Save all the battery I can.